I'm Luke. I'm an alcoholic.
Hello. Hey, Luke.
I didn't even know I was coming to Swacky Paw a week ago, let alone speaking on a panel. And then when it was explained what the panel was about, I initially thought that it didn't apply to me. But after further panic and questioning, I realized that it does essentially fit my story. I'll just start with the first drink. I was 12 years old, growing up in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and my friends in middle school were starting to drink because there's not much to do in Sioux Falls. And so I got curious, and my dad at the time was an active alcoholic. He's sober today through the program. But I knew that he had alcohol in the house. And so I had always seen a flask above the fridge. And so one day when nobody was home, I climbed up on the counter and grabbed the flask and took a sip. And it burned like hell. And I hated it. It had a metallic taste because of the flask. And I didn't get it. I didn't get it at that point. I didn't feel the effects of it. And later, actually just like 3 months ago, I finally told my dad that story, and he laughed because he didn't even know what liquor was in there, because that flask was given to him 8 years earlier, and he had never opened it. So it was some sort of booze that had been sitting in this flask for 8 years. But anyway, so about a year after that, I got invited to a party, and people were drinking. There was a girl there that I liked. I was very awkward. That's when I don't really know if I got drunk. I got buzzed, which to me at the time seemed drunk. But that's the first time I felt the effects, and it made me who I wanted to be. I was funny. I could talk to that girl. And it was a good time. And I know that's young for this panel. But what I realized is that it applies to me, because I was generally a good kid. I listened to my parents pretty much out of fear. But I was a good kid. I never really snuck out. And because of that, I didn't really party all that much when I was young. I had my first blackout when I was 16, and then I didn't have another blackout until I was 19. So I'll just fast forward to the fun stuff. So out of high school, I joined the Army, and it was a culture shock. I had been going to a high school for 2 years in southern Utah, and not many people drink down there, or at least the way that I was used to drinking. And so I didn't really drink that much those 2 years. Then getting into the Army, it was a complete culture shock. And still, I really didn't drink that much. I had gotten a girlfriend right before I left for the Army. And essentially, she was treating my condition. I wasn't aware of it at the time. I wasn't aware I was an alcoholic at the time. The drinking amped up a bit. But she didn't enjoy that I would get drunk across the country from her. She was living in California at the time, and which was completely understandable. And so she treated my condition. I deployed to Kuwait for 7 months, came back, and the day I got back, she told me that she met somebody. I was 20, and that's really when things popped off. because I had a reason. I finally had a legit reason to act the way I wanted to, or at least what was legit in my mind. And so yeah, that's what happened. I started partying as much as I could. What that looked like was, I don't know, we really didn't even need a party. We would try to party, but it got to the point where people didn't really want to party with us anymore. Because once we got there, it was all about getting wasted and trying to get laid, pretty much. and so we weren't really the nicest people to have around. So yeah, close to the end there. I told myself I would never drink by myself because that's what alcoholics do. And so one night it was a rough duty day, and got off of work, and I was like, you know what? I just want to play Call of Duty. It would be much better if I were buzzed, and so that's what I'm gonna do. And so that's what I did. Rum and Coke was my thing, and one would get me a little buzz, two would get me buzzed, three I would start to get drunk, and four I would be where I wanted to be. And so that's what I ended up doing at least 2-3 times a week. At that time, my sister who lives in Arizona. At that time, my sister had already gotten into the program in Arizona, and it was working for her, which baffled me because I knew her story, and I was drinking way harder than she ever did. And so that scared me. It scared me enough that I had to sink deeper into denial in order to push it out of my mind. Because logic shows that if it's working for her and she didn't drink as hard as I did, that I was probably an alcoholic as well. But that didn't sit right with me because that would mean that I couldn't drink anymore. So, yeah, I got into some trouble in the Army. Almost got kicked out towards the end there. Made it out by the skin of my teeth, really. And at that time, I was stationed in Colorado. And so Colorado was the issue, obviously. And so I moved to Reno, where my mom and stepdad were. And they were the only two people, the only two souls that I knew in Reno. And so it made complete sense that moving there would solve my problem. Because how could I party if I had nobody to party with? And so I moved there. Every intention of kind of staying sober, basically just like not drinking for a little while and getting my life together. But within 2 weeks of moving there, I met people who went just as hard as I did. And things went downhill real quick. It became apparent to my parents that I had a problem. Just not me. It took a lot of convincing. And that was the only time I've ever yelled at my mom. Was the last time she really suggested that I might have an issue. That was a tough thing because I love my mom. She's one of the most gentle people I've ever known. And so yelling at her might have been one of the biggest hints that I actually somewhat caught on to. That there was something wrong because I wouldn't do that. I think about 2 weeks after that, I finally broke down and I went to my first AA meeting in Reno. Got a sponsor that first meeting. ran through 1, 2, and 3 without really knowing what the hell was going on. Didn't really know if I believed in God. But I knew that when you join AA that you're supposed to get a sponsor and you're supposed to work steps. And so that's what I was going to do. If nothing else, but look like I was doing what I was supposed to do. So I came home from that first meeting and my parents were like, how'd it go? And I was like, it was great. I have a sponsor. I'm on my 4-step and not really knowing what any of that meant. So yeah, I got barely into the 4-step and I was not having it. It was just too much writing and I didn't want to read this book. And he kept talking about dying, and that was sad. And so I stopped calling him because that made a lot of sense. And essentially planned my relapse. I hadn't tried certain other forms of alcohol yet that I really wanted to try. And so I planned my relapse around that. And it didn't take long for things to get bad. It wasn't what I thought it was going to be. And I really don't know if it had anything to do with going to that meeting or even reading just a little bit out of the book or what my sponsor was talking about. I honestly don't know, but it just wasn't what I thought it was going to be. And I was miserable and I didn't know what to do. I was already set up to go to school back in Colorado. But a little part of me knew that I could not do what I wanted. That it was just not going to work out because I didn't know how to do it. And I was not willing to put in the effort to figure it out. And so luckily, 2 weeks before classes started, my sister called me and I told her about my relapse and she said, I know. She was the only one in my family that it wasn't a surprise. She said, I know you're going to make whatever decision you're going to make and I love you and support you no matter what it is. But if you ever feel like you need help, you can always move down here. You can move in with me. Get a sponsor and do this. And I don't know, it didn't really, really hit me at that time. I just said thank you and we hung up, but then an hour later my mom called me and essentially said the exact same thing. She said, I love you and support you no matter what, but if you ever need help, you can always move to Arizona with your sister and really go for this. And that's when it hit me. Later I found out that they had no idea that they both called within an hour of each other and they had not talked to each other about calling me or what they would say. It just so happened that they said the exact same thing. But I hung up the phone with my mom and I don't know, I just sat back in my car, closed my eyes, took a deep breath, and for the first time, I sensed higher self. It was always there. I was just terrible at listening to it. And for some reason, I did at that moment. It might have been the breath. It might have been the situation I had just gone through. It might have been what they both said. I honestly don't know. It really doesn't matter. What matters is the next day I made the decision to move to Arizona and really give sobriety a shot. And yeah, I won't go into too much detail with all of that. I don't know. I started working steps, got a sponsor, quickly figured out that the way to be accepted in the young people's community was to go to meetings, work steps, and get a sponsor. So what started as a manipulation ended up saving my life because I needed friends. So yeah, probably about like 6 months sober, I started hearing about ASCII PAW. We were going to bid that year, and people suggested that I go to one of the election meetings. And so I went, and I didn't really know if I wanted a commitment or if I did, which one. And somebody brought up that there was a media chair, and I had been playing with graphic design since high school, and I love art, and that seemed to fit perfectly. And I got elected to that position, screwed up a lot. I'm terrible with procrastination, but we got it done. And we went to ASCII PAW that year, put in the bid, and got it. And that was just last year. We're hosting this year. And I got reelected for media chair, for host. And ever since then, YPAW has been a big part of my sobriety. I don't know, some people think it's just the being of service part, but I don't know, I feel it's a lot more than that. It's the fellowship, it's being responsible and showing up when it's tough. Like I said, I didn't even know I was coming here a week ago, you know? And everything, my head told me it was too short notice and that I didn't have enough money. And I don't know. One of the first things I was taught in AA is that when AA asks, you say yes. And so luckily I remembered that last Sunday. And I've been going to more and more YPAW conferences and different events, and it's a beautiful thing. It really blows my mind, you know, that I mean, just 2 years ago, I really didn't know how to shop for myself. I definitely did not know how to pay rent or any bills. Now I live with two great guys in the program. We pay rent on time, which is nuts. We have automatic bill pay, which is very nice for a lazy alcoholic. I have a dog, which is crazy. An actual life that I get to take care of. And I get to show up for my friends. My sober young people's community, AA as a whole, my family, my girlfriend, and it's a blessing. I mean, I still screw up. I still screw up a lot, you know? It's not as big as it was a year, 2 years ago, but I don't know. It's one of my favorite little quotes that we like to say is progress rather than perfection. And that's what I've found. I really don't know what perfection in sobriety looks like, or if it's even possible. But I don't know. I'll progress till I figure that out. But yeah, thank you. With that, I'll pass.